Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. America was never America to me.
In a way, we were agreeing with Langston Hughes, that Black Bart of Harlem. I say it plain. America never was America to me.
It never was America to me.
And yet I swear this oath, America will be.
Truer words never spoken. Welcome to Origin of the Dream, the podcast, giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the documentary currently in production, Origin of the Dream, directed by Rebecca Cerise and co-produced by Jason Miller, author of the groundbreaking book, Origins of the Dream, Hughes Poetry, and King's Rhetoric. And yours truly, Cash Michaels, your host. Good to have you on board once again. Without question, two of the most powerful voices for freedom, justice, and equality in the 20th century were civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and visionary American poet Langston Hughes. Hughes and King were contemporaries. In fact, Hughes died less than a year before King's assassination. We now know the two exchanged letters and met on occasion. New evidence reveals that Hughes's poetry had a direct influence on the ideas used by Dr. King in his sermons and speeches from 1956 through 1968. Meeting at the crossroads of dreams shared yet unfulfilled, both icons wielded their powerful pens as swords for a deep and lasting social change during a time of unparalleled societal struggle. The documentary, Origin of the Dream, illuminates the unexplored intersections between Langston Hughes and Dr. King, the power of that union, and their shared vision that not only inspired the 60s struggle for social change, but continues to inspire generations today and will for many years to come. Jason, talk about the unique intellectual relationship in American history that both Dr. King and Langston Hughes had, and what can we learn from him?
These two American icons actually exchanged letters, knew each other, traveled back and forth to Nigeria, and Dr. King found incredible ways to incorporate Langston Hughes' poetry into his sermons and speeches all the way from 1956 to 1968. And these uses really trace the Montgomery bus boycott from its beginnings, when Dr. King starts talking about a Langston Hughes poem titled Mother to Son, all the way to the very end of Dr. King's legacy and key speeches like Beyond Vietnam, where he quoted and used Langston Hughes' poem, Let America Be America Again. What's fascinating about this connection is, on Langston Hughes' side, this reminds us of Langston Hughes' incredible contribution to the civil rights movement. And that's a story that has not been told. And on Dr. King's side, we realize just how political he was, even though he seemed like he was a fantastic personality to unite and bring people together. He used the biblical language of prophecy. He incorporated the American dream. But what people don't know is that the very origin of his use of the dream metaphor comes directly from Langston Hughes' various poems about dreams.
Give us, paint the picture of what those times were like, the latter 50s going into the 60s, the civil rights movement, and the kind of world that these two icons were dealing with and were challenging.
Things up to the 1940s had been unique in American history, and we were coming out of World War II. But once we hit the 1950s, we get this unique moment in history where now the racism that was apparently being fought against overseas is now right here in America. And the traditional way of telling this, of course, is to think of Rosa Parks and her involvement in the Montgomery bus boycott. But it also is key to think about people on the sidelines who aren't necessarily front and center in our history. So when we think about a person like Langston Hughes, he's not only visible in the public, but he's also writing a great deal. And so the media was a key source for Langston Hughes as he wrote stories in the Chicago Defender, shared them around the nation, and Hughes found a way around all this tension. He created this famous character called Jesse B. Simple, and Simple was a voice of this everyday man in Harlem who would argue on behalf of violence, argue on behalf of taking extreme measures with his more logical counterpoint, Boyd, and Hughes found a way to try to diffuse the incredible tension of the mid to late 50s by showing both sides of it. The genius for him was that you could never tell where the author himself resided on the issues. Was he for extreme measures or was he for caution? And Langston Hughes, in this turbulent time, put his ear to the curb and he started listening carefully to what was really being talked about and happening on the streets. And he brought that to his great literary vision and his amazing pen and paper.
And Dr. King, what challenges were he facing then?
So the most startling thing for many people learning about Dr. King is very often it's like when somebody tries to tell you about the story in Genesis. This is a story you think you already know. And so with Dr. King, a number of people say, oh, I'm very familiar with Dr. King. I know everything about him. Well, there are many things that even really, really close followers of Dr. King don't know. For instance, when we started tracking Dr. King's use of Langston Hughes' poetry, who was a documented person who was very, very controversial, took risks, and had been accused of being a communist, we found that Dr. King had to be particularly careful of when he could use Langston Hughes' words and names, because there was an incredible period of time in his life where he was under intense FBI surveillance. This FBI surveillance was such that from April of 1960 to March of 1965, Dr. King never mentioned Langston Hughes' name or his poetry because of the affinities and the connections. This had a really dramatic moment. On June 22nd, 1963, Dr. King was called to the White House. And in consecutive order, people like Robert Kennedy and then John F. Kennedy said, Dr. King, we can support the civil rights movement so long as you're not affiliated with any communists. And they gave names, and they said people like Stanley Levinson and Jack O'Dell cannot be associated with you. This intense period actually led to a moment in time where key figures in Dr. King's inner circle didn't communicate with him by letter or phone for years. So the lengths that Dr. King had to go to negotiate all these different special interests, these intensities, were things that are brought to light and really exposed by his back and forth use of Langston Hughes. What's fascinating for us is that even though Langston Hughes' name doesn't appear in this critical time, which of course is the most visible time of Dr. King, all his ideas and themes are still there. Because Dr. King knew how to riff, allude, or sample Langston Hughes, even when others didn't realize he was actually there in his concepts and ideas and vision for the beloved community and for the dream of a new world.
Interesting. We also have with us award-winning director, producer-director, Rebecca Cerise, who is the director of Origin of the Dream. And Rebecca, welcome. Let's pick up where Jason left off. All that he's talking about, how can we put this on film, and who are we putting it on film for?
Great question, Cash. It is a huge story to tell, and there are lots of complications with bringing something this big of two men that a lot of people do know to screen in a way that's sort of comprehensive and new. And who do we want to reach? We want to reach young people, but not just young people. We want to sort of reach everybody, because quite frankly, the themes, the things that these two men are talking about are still incredibly relevant today. So how do we do it? We have a lot of ideas. Thankfully, we've been able to interview some really great folks like Danny Glover, his acting partner Felix Justice, Ambassador Andrew Young, who was a close confidant and friend to Dr. King, the late Chairman Julian Bond, Professor Donna Akiba Sullivan Harper at Spelman, who's an expert on Langston Hughes. So we have some of the traditional sort of experts that we've already interviewed, and we intend to interview more. But how do we actually make it really exciting, you know, sort of jump off the screen? I was really, really influenced by Congressman John Lewis's books, his graphic novel books. He has three of them now, March Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. And I said to myself, wow, maybe we can use animation. Graphic novels are really, really big now. And And then that goes back to, why did Congressman Lewis even do March Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3? And that's because he was very influenced by a comic book when he was growing up called The Montgomery Story. So obviously this idea of using comic books was something that they did back in the day. And it was, what, 10 cents, 25 cents? So it was able to be spread out for folks. So I said, the other issue, actually, the other good reason to use something like animation is because we have zero photographs of these two men together. Zero. Also, there's issues with a lot of the Dr. King stuff in terms of licensing issues. So that makes documentary filmmakers or any artists think about ways to sort of get around all of that. So that was the other impetus. So we are hoping to connect with a really talented illustrator who can partner with us and really help some of the story come to life. Other thing is, we want to use excerpts from their speeches and their poems and their newspaper articles themselves, the words of these folks. I mean, there's just been a really incredible recent film called I Am Not Your Negro about James Baldwin. And that whole, you know, that whole film is James Baldwin's voice, whether it's actually him in some of his appearances where he taught, or it's Sam Jackson narrating sort of this manuscript that he had been working on. So their voices and the things that they said are timeless and universal, and we want to bring that to new generations.
But is today's generation ready for Dr. King? Is today's generation ready for Langston Hughes? I mean, you know, these are guys from, what, the 1950s, the 1960s? Yes, those were turbulent times. We're in a new age now, though. Why would something that Langston Hughes either said or wrote, or the same thing with Dr. King, why would that be relevant today, especially to young people?
I do think that they're ready for them. I mean, we saw studies that Langston Hughes is still taught in high school. I mean, you were telling me your daughter was learning about Langston Hughes, and his words are universal. They're still relevant today, even more so. I mean, we have the movement for Black Lives. We have all these movements going on right now because, unfortunately, so many of these issues that were facing people, the structural racism that was facing people in the 50s and 60s, is still happening today. It's still happening. Of course, it's not exactly the same. For example, we don't have overt symbols of racism like the black only water fountains or the white only lunch counters, right? But we still have this structural racism that sort of permeates our entire culture. So I actually think that the words of these two revolutionary men are incredibly relevant and will touch people. The thing about Langston Hughes to me, and we have Julian Bond talking about it, is he writes in a way that anyone could sort of understand. When I played Danny Glover reading Let America Be America Again for my mom was so moved by it. And it wasn't just, you know, Danny Glover's really powerful reading of it. It was the words themselves. It's not any highfalutin ideas. It's these very basic, you know, basic ideas that are rooted in the American dream, especially that poem, that are rooted in the American dream that anyone can relate to, anyone can understand. It's these ideas of equality, of freedom, of hard work, of all of these different things that all of us, especially as Americans who grow up with this idea of the American dream, can really, really relate to. The other thing is Dr. King in recent years has sort of been whitewashed or relegated to the dreamer, I have a dream. But there's so much more to him than that. And there have been people that have covered it, but that's, you know, one of the things that we want to focus on too is, you know, that it's not just about the dream, it's about the fight. And he was a fighter, a nonviolent fighter, but he was a fighter. He was arrested. He was marching. I mean, when he was murdered, he was organizing around a poor people's campaign. It wasn't just strictly civil rights. He was actually trying to bring lots of different people together. And also, we have the Beyond Vietnam speech that was referred to, where he took on a very controversial topic, you know, which actually angered lots of people, but also specifically angered President Lyndon Johnson, who had been a very strong ally of his in terms of pushing forward the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. But his conscience told him that he had to do it. He had to speak out against this. And he also connected the dots, which we don't do a very good job of today, of if we're putting all of our economic resources into killing people overseas, what resources are left for our citizens here to invest in education and in infrastructure and in healthcare and things like that? This is still the fight we're having today. So many of our resources are going overseas to fight the many wars that we're involved in. And what's happening here? Our infrastructure is crumbling. We're fighting for any kind of money towards for education. And so I think that it is something that people are going to be able to relate to because it's happening in their lives.
Thank you, Director Rebecca Cerise and author Jason Miller, co-producers of the film Origin of the Dream, which is still in production. On future podcasts, listen for clips from the film featuring the late Julian Bond, Ambassador Andrew Young, actors Danny Glover and Felix Justice, Professor Donna Akiba Sullivan Harper, and many others. Also, if you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution towards the production of Origin of the Dream, please just go to originofthedream.com. That's originofthedream.com. Click the word donate at the top of the page, and that will take you where you need to go. And we thank you. In these troubled times that we're all in, all of us need to support filmmakers who will share with us the inspiration to overcome. And while you're at the site, feel free to visit our blog or our Facebook page. And of course, join us on Twitter to get all of our latest news and podcast. On behalf of Rebecca Cerise and Jason Miller, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Origin of the Dream, the podcast, is a Cashworks HD production, all rights reserved. I'm Cash Michaels.